Welcome to the ProWrestling.net All Access Daily Podcast for Monday, March 7, 2016. I am Jason Powell over at ProWrestling.net. Today, reports on WWE live events from over the weekend. Both of the loaded Pro Wrestling Guerrilla All-Star Weekend shows, the Hulk Hogan versus Gawker court hearing is underway, and much more. Of course, I will have live coverage of WWE Raw tonight. However, I am actually unlikely to be able to cover the Raw pre-show notes tonight. I will be recording a podcast shortly before Raw that I'm sure I'll be telling you about tomorrow. So I'll be good to go for Raw coverage, iffy at best for Raw pre-show notes tonight. But join me for live coverage of Raw as the show airs on USA Network. WWE announced today that Ray Traylor, a.k.a. Big Boss Man, is the newest entrant in the WWE Hall of Fame. Boss Man was very green when he started with the Midnight Express and Jim Cornette as Big Bubba Rogers. And he was just so well protected in that big man spot. He felt like the baddest guy in the company, even before he even worked a match as Big Bubba. I've said many times, I wish TNA had followed the playbook for how to use Tyrus when he was EC3's muscle, and he's certainly not the only guy that's been, you know, worn a suit and been the big man at ringside, kind of playing the heavy for somebody. But the difference between Bubba and everyone else, it seems, is that he truly did come off like the muscle. Tyrus and others have kind of come off like guys who people just plowed through to get to, in Tyrus's case, EC3. But with Bubba, he became one of the best big men in the game. I mean, he had a really good run as the popular Big Boss Man character once he went to WWE. And, you know, hey, the character eventually ran out of steam, but before it did, I mean, he and Hulk Hogan had some really good big man matches, some of Hogan's better work at that time, and it was early in Boss Man's run there. It's a throwaway move today. You wouldn't think a whole lot of it, but I remember being wowed seeing them perform like superplexes even. You just didn't see guys of that size performing that sort of a move back then. And the Traylor also very well liked behind the scenes. I think one of the few guys in the industry that I just haven't personally heard anyone badmouth. And that goes, you know, he just was very well liked. And it's not like it was one of those things where, well, he died, so people feel bad and they're not going to say anything negative about him. No, he was very well liked. Untimely death, heart attack, age 41 back in 2004. I do want to mention, I think it would be great if Jim Cornette were brought in for the induction. I think the ice will eventually crack between him and WWE. And, you know, no matter what you think of Cornette or some of the things he said over the years, and there have been some really over-the-top things, I think we can all agree that the Midnight Express have been overlooked for far too long. And I think it is because of his issues with WWE. And so I would really like to see that ice crack. I think Cornette played a part. Doesn't have to be involved in this, but I just somehow, some way, I would really like to see the Midnight Express added to the WWE Hall of Fame, whether it's this year or another year. So fingers crossed on that. But very happy to see the Boss Man go in, and looking forward to seeing if they air a video pack on him tonight. They've been kind of, depending on the person, it seems like they've been kind of just giving you a quick heads up on Raw rather than playing the extended video. So we'll see if that happens tonight for him. Speaking of Raw, they're in Chicago tonight, and we will get the return of Shane McMahon. It'll be his second appearance. His, of course, the last one, he shocked everyone by showing up the night after WWE Fastlane. Hopefully he can regain some of the momentum that was lost last week with what I felt was bad follow-up to his return. It was Vince McMahon and Undertaker. We barely heard from Taker. Worth noting, Undertaker not advertised for this week, but both he and Shane McMahon are advertised for next week's show in Pittsburgh. Brock Lesnar not officially advertised tonight either, which is interesting because he was just advertised for a match against Bray Wyatt on the Roadblock show, and so I don't know if we're going to... Hopefully Paul Heyman will show up. I mean, he's not listed. Sometimes these guys make unadvertised appearances, and you would think with Heyman they could certainly do that, but I want to hear something. I don't want this to be like, well, Brock against Kofi and Brock against Big Show. I think we actually did hear a little bit from Big Show, you know, to set that up. But I want this to feel like it's more than just a Brock Lesnar showcase match. And I don't know that there's enough time to do that, but I at least want to see them make some effort. I want to hear something from from Heyman about why Lesnar wants this. And I think you can go back to the Royal Rumble and point out the way Lesnar was eliminated from that match and kind of make this seem like a revenge match. They should have been doing that all along, kind of if they knew they were going to go down this road. I mean, this match was certainly rumored for Mania, but it was weird. It was like Lesnar was eliminated by the Wyatt family in cheap fashion at the Rumble, and then it was just forgotten. And so it's kind of looking back at it now, like, why? I mean, man, it was disappointing at the time, and it now knowing that we're actually getting this match, it's a real head-scratcher. Also on tonight's Raw, New Day defending the WWE Tag Team Championship against Chris Jericho and AJ Styles. Curious to see how that plays out. Are they setting up a WrestleMania rematch between these teams? Will Jericho turn on Styles? Hell, will Styles turn on Jericho? A number of different ways that could go. But we'll finally get some answers tonight on Raw as we take another step closer to WrestleMania. I mentioned Roadblock. WWE Network has it slotted for 3 hours, so it is the same length as your typical WWE pay-per-view event. The advertised matches for Saturday's show in Toronto are Triple H against Dean Ambrose for the WWE World Heavyweight Championship, Brock Lesnar against Bray Wyatt, as I mentioned, and Scott Dawson and Dash Wilder defending the NXT tag titles against Enzo Amore and Colin Cassidy. I assume they're going to round out the show tonight and then probably to some additional matches at Tuesday SmackDown taping. Looking forward to the show. I wish they would. I hope they can do something to create a little more buzz for it. It's tough because obviously they want the focus to be on WrestleMania, but they also have this show, and so you don't. It's just kind of a tricky situation. But with everything airing on WWE Network, and this one is not an actual pay-per-view, you have to have the network to see it. I think they can spend a little bit of time tonight building this up. I think you can certainly hit on WrestleMania with Shane and things of that nature, with Shane not being on this show. But I'm hoping that they try to make this feel like it's more than just a glorified house show. Certainly, adding Hunter and Ambrose for the World Championship does create the feeling that, yeah, this matters, and they need to do more tonight. I thought Ambrose did an effective job on SmackDown of laying out the various scenarios of what it would mean if he won the championship, who would he face at Mania. They need to do more of that tonight. They need to make this feel like not, you know, more must-see than Mania, but certainly a must-see show on the road to Mania. It is worth noting that WWE did remove the Atlantic City House Show from their own live events page at WWE.com. I did check with WWE PR on this, and I was told that the Atlantic City show is still on. It's been a mess with WWE advertising Dean Ambrose for the main event of Roadblock against Hunter, and then also he's advertised as facing Kevin Owens at the Atlantic City show. Similar start times, maybe even identical, I don't remember, if not within an hour, but very similar start times for these shows, so I don't think it's going to be a case where Ambrose is going to work both shows. He's still, as of like late last week, Ambrose was still listed on the WWE live events page, so that maybe it's just they took it down to kind of fix that. But as of earlier today, the show wasn't even listed, but again, checking with WWE, it's still on. The advertising on the arena website still lists Ambrose facing Kevin Owens, and you know that happens. You'll see some very dated advertising at times appearing on arena websites, but you would think WWE would have been quicker to remove Dean Ambrose from the list of advertised talent. I don't think he was the only one that is being not really double booked, but double advertised. How's that? And of course, live coverage of WWE Roadblock coming up on Saturday night. You can follow along with my live review as the show airs on WWE Network. .NET members will be listening to my Q&A audio show a little bit later today. In fact, once I finish up with this, I will start in on the Q&A show. I will be answering the pro wrestling questions they submitted in the members forum, and also answering some fun non-wrestling related questions at the end. We'll be talking about last night's Walking Dead, one of my favorite shows. Now we got some questions on Better Call Saul. I love that show. But the members are already listening to an exclusive edition of Will Pruitt and Jake Barnett's Pretentious Wrestling Podcast. The guys discuss music in pro wrestling, which is always an interesting subject and certainly timely given that the fabulous Freebirds were announced for the WWE Hall of Fame. I finally had a chance to listen to the show this morning, just kind of had a lot going on this weekend. I enjoyed it. There's some talk of the best pro wrestling entrance music, some of the worst. Limp Bizkit is in there too. So definitely check that out if you are a member. The members will also hear my audio review of WWE Raw later tonight. If you would like to join the members on the ad-free version of ProWrestling.net, very simple process. Visit that main page at ProWrestling.net. Once you are there, you will see the sign-up area on the right side of your screen. Three different pricing options. You can go monthly. $7.50 is the price tag there. If you want to save yourself a little bit of money, there is a six-month option. And if you take the annual option, you can whittle that price all the way down to an average of $5.50 per month. Tons and tons of audio. You're just hearing today's audio list. Know that there is a ton more coming. All the major television shows reviewed. Roadblock will be reviewed in audio form. And the list goes on and on. Just so much audio content. You will struggle to keep up with everything that we give you. We're trying to give people the most bang for their buck. And we would certainly appreciate it if you would take the time to see if we're a good fit for you. Again, visit the main page at ProWrestling.net and then find out all the details on the ad-free version of ProWrestling.net. TNA finally announced their television tapings for next week in Orlando, Florida at Universal Studios. Yes, Impact Zone Dwellers Unite. The tapings will be held March 15th through the 19th. 7 Eastern is the start time. Free to attend. There's also going to be a matinee show on March 17th that will start at noon Eastern time. TNA will be airing a quote-unquote live show next Tuesday night for Impact. Not really live. It's what they've been doing. They promote it as live. It's actually same-day tape delay. Should be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to that. It'll be TNA's first show since the UK tour. So apparently they only do have one more show left in the can. And then we will get some new content from TNA. As I've been saying, it's been a very good product this year. I've liked 8 out of the 10 shows they've done so far, with some ranging from good to very good even. I have no idea, though, why it took the company so long to announce these dates. I mean, they left themselves open to more speculation and concern about their future. And, you know, talent was informed a week or two ago about those dates. But even, you know, that's late enough in the game. But I'm not really sure why they waited until 8 days before the show, at least the first taping, to make the announcement to everyone else. I know it's free tapings and you can round up people from the theme park, but ideally you want wrestling fans there to give you the best atmosphere. And so really strange. I don't know exactly why. I certainly have my theories as to why. There are some people that are surprised to see them even back at the Impact Zone. Things didn't always go smoothly from a business standpoint there, I'm told. But they are back, and it's obviously a good thing that TNA has new television taping scheduled, and there's not going to be a gap. We're not going to get another round-robin tournament or a best-of show. They're going to be going right into the new taping starting next Tuesday with the live-to-tape, the same-day tape delay, if you will. Finally, today, a couple of notes regarding WWE live events. If you were reading the site over the weekend, then you know that I attended the WWE live event on Friday in Minneapolis at Target Center. And I'm not going to get into the who beat who and all of that. You can certainly go to the main page of ProWrestling.net in the live events section and find that type of info. But I do want to talk about a couple of things that stood out about the way WWE advertised the show and something from a presentation standpoint. First off, I mean, I enjoyed the overall show, but I think it's crazy that WWE didn't bother to advertise the Divas Championship match. And I'm not just talking about Minneapolis. I'm saying in general. You know, on this show, though, they had Charlotte and Becky Lynch for the Divas title. Turned out to be the show where Charlotte was cut. The match was cut short. The match took place right after intermission. I mean, when they... coming back from intermission, I'm like, okay, we're probably going to get some bad six, you know, some throwaway six diva tag match or something. I didn't even realize that Charlotte and Becky Lynch were advertised. And I'm sure they were on the live events page listing, but it wasn't an advertised match. The only matches they bothered to advertise, Kevin Owens against Ambrose for the Intercontinental title in a street fight. Wasn't a street fight, but it was for the IC title. And then Kalisto against Alberto Del Rio, which didn't actually take place. It ended up being Kalisto defending the U.S. title against Sheamus. And they told us AJ Styles would be making his WWE debut in Minneapolis. Why not advertise the women's match? There is like more interest in the women's division right now than there has been in years. And it was a nice surprise when we got the title match, you know, coming out of intermission. I don't really like the slot for the title match, but it was still a nice surprise to get it. I was excited, but I can't help but think that they would have sold more tickets had they simply advertised this match ahead of time instead of saying, and the Divas will be there. Oh boy, I did notice a greater number of women were in attendance for the show than I remember seeing at like recent WWE live events, and I really do think it's due in part to the increased attention that the women's division has been getting on television, and so I think they can draw if given the opportunity. And if I were a typical consumer and what didn't just feel like, well, of course I'm going to the show, but just rather kind of a picking and choosing, I know I would have been more likely to go and purchase a ticket if I actually knew that match were on the show, even more so than Kalisto Del Rio. And again, that match didn't even take place, but I don't see what harm there is in putting that out there. I think it's counterproductive to not put it out there. The other thing that stood out was the use of AJ Styles on this show, and I was really looking forward to seeing him. Felt a little uneventful to have him in the opening match of the night. I think that's something that could have made people wait for. Putting the opening match thing aside, though, Styles is a talent that caters to a lot of fans, but especially the hardcore wrestling fan. And looking around the building and listening to the crowd, it was a family-heavy crowd, and there were certainly a good variety of people there. It was a smaller crowd, I think largely due to the fact that there was 22,000 in St. Paul watching the high school hockey tournament. Somehow in a building that holds 19,000, they crammed 22,000 in there. But, I mean, I wasn't, unless I missed, I wasn't hearing much of, smarky internet fan type chants or anything. They're just not drawing as many hardcore fans as they would if it were a Raw show or a pay-per-view that were in town. And so I propose that in order to get that fan to attend the live event, you book Styles in some unique live event matches. I mean, we had Neville working Ryback on this show, and I liked that match. I was pleasantly surprised by it. But I think it would have been really cool if they had booked Styles against Neville. It's a match that we haven't seen on WWE television, and if you advertise it for a live event, I think it will bring out the hardcore fan more so than simply saying that AJ's first WWE appearance in Minneapolis is going to occur. Because many of those fans have seen AJ work, well, not all that long ago for the Ring of Honor show that was in town. But I think if you give them something special, something out of the norm, something other than AJ and Miz, which they've already seen, they might go, hey, I want to see that match, and be more likely to go. Then you combine that with the women's match that I do think appeals to, in some degree, to the same type of fan. Bam, you've sold more tickets. And I just think they're really stuck in this rut of here's a couple of matches, and oh, the Divas will be there. And they need to work a little bit harder to, I don't know why you wouldn't, to bring in more fans. And with the hardcore fan, I think they just assume, well, they're going to watch and they're going to go no matter what we do. And I would argue, based on seeing that crowd, no, that's not the case. They don't automatically go to all of your live events because I think many of the fans just kind of roll their eyes and go, eh, I'll wait for TV. It's just a live show. Give them something special and they will come. Hey, please remember to subscribe to this daily podcast, rate and review us on iTunes, anywhere else that allows such reviews. That is always appreciated, and you are helping spread the word about this daily podcast. As I've been saying, if you can even help with a simple retweet once I put out the link to the show on my Twitter page, at Pro Wrestling Net, that is greatly appreciated. I will be by tomorrow with my WWE Raw hit list, some bonus thoughts on Raw, and whatever else is happening in the crazy world of pro wrestling. Until then, thank you so much for listening. Take care.